Today's shir is Masechta B'Kama Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara, Itmar, Shemer Aveda. If somebody is watching Aveda, and as Reb Baruch Ber explains the Gemara, he says that's what Rashi means to say. Somebody found a lost object, and he brought it into his home. Rav's opinion is that this person is considered a Shemer Chinam. And Rabbi Yosef's opinion is that he's considered Keshema Sochadami. So the Pnei Yeshua and many Mepharshim asked the obvious question. We're learning now Masech Baba Kama. And the primary subject of Masech Baba Kama is to talk about the halachas of Mazikim, not to speak about the halachas of Shomrim. So how does the halacha of Shomrim come into our Masech? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, because since we're going to learn in our sugya that there might be a difference when somebody's a shomer aveda of an animal versus a different type of a shomer aveda, because an animal has a habit to do damage, which is very much part of the subject of our masechta. So that's why our masechta speaks, this sugya belongs in our masechta. The Daki David has a different explanation. He says that a very big part of what we'll be discussing in our Masechta is that somebody who owns something has responsibility to watch what he owns. And the way we're going to be learning in our Shir, so too is the obligation of a Shomer Aveda. So both of these halachas really emanate from the same place. Obligation to watch what we have. And that's why it very much belongs in our Sugya. So Rabbam Kishem Echinim Dami, why? The If I find something of yours where there's a mitzvah for me to watch it, I don't have any benefit from it, and therefore I'm considered a shomer chinam. And here Mara introduces the concept of pruta de Rabbi Yosef. There's a very fundamental, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem extensively in Masechta Baba Metzia, a very fundamental difference between a shomer chinam and a shomer socher. A shomer chinam is chayv b'pshia. If he's negligent with what he is watching, he will be held responsible. But he's not chayv, he's not held responsible for geneva aveda, if what he's watching is stolen or lost. Whereas the shomer sachar, the halacha is not only chayv obviously b'pshia, but he's also chayv b'geneva aveda. So Rav Yosef says that is considered, the Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Socher. Why? By here, no, with that benefit, the Lebaila Mesa Riftalanya, while he's doing the mitzvah of watching the Aveda, he's exempt from giving tzedakah, based on the concept of Oisik B'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. That's why it's considered a Shomer Socher. Ikad Mefarash Hachi, but others explain Rabbi Yosef's opinion. Rabbi Yosef Amik Shomer Socher Dami, he's considered like a Shomer Socher. He's obligated to take care of what he watched. It's not something that he has a choice. It's a mitzvah. Therefore, he's considered like a shomer socher. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. So the Rishonim point out that even though Rabbi is saying that this person who's watching the other person's object is considered like a shomer chinam, it's not because he disagrees with the concept. It's not because he disagrees with the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. He doesn't say that. He holds Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. He is not considered, Rava doesn't consider the Shomer Aveda to be considered a Shomer Socher with the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. And we need to understand why. So the Tzais explains, since it's so unusual and unlikely that just as I'm watching somebody else's object, that's when I'll be asked to give tzedakah. So that's not enough to make me into a shomer socher. That's the opinion of the Tzais. The Nesivus has a different explanation. Nesivus says, when somebody picks up somebody else's object to watch it, his intention is not to become a shomer socher. His intention is
The Torah wants me to watch this object. I'm going to do what I have to do. And because of that, says the Nesivus, I become only a that's why I'm only considered a Shem Mechinam. Says, so, ask Ritva, if we have here the concept of Rabbi Yosef, that if I'm obligated to watch somebody else's object, that makes me into a Shomer Socher, because Oisker Mitzvah Potem and a Mitzvah. So the question he asks is that every Shomer Chinam, when he is obligated, when he watches somebody else's object without any remuneration, he's obligated, included in watching that object, there's an obligation for him to watch it that it should not get ruined. And if it's something that needs to be aired out, he has to air it out, etc. So why should we call every Shomer Chinam a Shomer Socher with the concept of Oisim HaMitzvah, Potem and HaMitzvah? Says the Ritva in the first Teretz, that yes, I'm obligated as a Shomer Chinam to make sure what I'm watching should not get ruined. But that obligation doesn't emanate from a mitzvah. That's part of what being a Shomer Chinam means. And since that's what being a Shomer Chinam means, that has nothing to do with the mitzvah. Whereas here, Shomer Aveda is fulfilling a mitzvah. And then the Ritva has a different Eretz, which is very similar, to the Nesivus' Vart. The Ritva says, when somebody accepts upon himself to be a Shomer Chinam, he accepts upon himself, for whatever reason, to be a Shomer Chinam. But he doesn't accept upon himself to be a Shomer Aveda, that he's intending to be a mitzvah. In other words, the Ritva says, it depends what is your intention when you took this upon yourself. Was your intention when you took this upon yourself to be fulfilling a mitzvah? And there we'll apply Rabbi Yosef's concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah, versus if your obligation that you took upon yourself was only because you're doing a Shomer Chinam, to be a Shomer, that isn't an obligation to fulfill a mitzvah. Many Achroinim ask the question that, as we've been saying, there is a concept that everybody agrees to of Oisik ben mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah. But they ask that this concept of Oisik ben mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah is only said by mitzvah sasei, that if I'm doing one mitzvah sasei, I'm exempt from doing another mitzvah sasei. But we don't use the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah to exempt you from doing, to allow you to do an aveira. So they ask, in giving tzedakah, yes, there's a mitzvah of giving tzedakah, but there are two aveiras, there are two lavim one violates if he doesn't give tzedakah. So how can we say oisik b'mitzvah? I'm potem and a mitzvah, I don't have to give tzedakah. Don't we have the mitzvah? Don't we have these mitzvahs of leis amitzvahs, yotchav leis of these two lavin? So many achroinim, based on a Ramban, say that there are two types of lavin. There's a lav which is a standalone lav. The Torah says that whatever we're speaking about is an aveira. That's one case. Then there's another type of a lav. The lav is only here to strengthen the assay. That's a very different type of lav. These Achroinim, that this lav of Lois Amitzis Lvavcha, Lois Sikbitzis Yotcha, is not a standalone lav. It's only here to protect the mitzvah assay of Tztaka, to show us how important is the mitzvah assay of Tztaka, that the mitzvah sasei of tzedakah is so important and such a significant mitzvah that if you don't do it, you're going to be over two lavin. But it doesn't mean that they're standalone lavin. And if that's the case, the halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah, also exempts you from these two lavin. Other achroinim suggest, the Meribina says this vart, there's a difference between if somebody is collecting money where he's desperate and without that money he can't survive. That's when there's a lav of leisametz eslavavcha leisikbetz esyotcha. But if somebody's collecting tzedakah but it isn't in a situation where it's a life and death situation, there those lavin don't apply. Another pshat that the stipler suggests, he says that the lav of loisamitzus levavcha of loisikvitzus yotcha is only in cases where a person does it out of cruelty. A person is chas v'shalom acting mean, and because he's acting mean, he refuses to give tzedakah. But in a case where he's not acting mean, then even though he's supposed to give tzedakah, this person who's not giving tzedakah because he's oisik b'mitzvah is not that he's acting in a cruel fashion, so he isn't over the lav. The stipler says very interesting in the Kibbutz Shurim says as follows. He says that just like we're saying that oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, and we are also saying that that doesn't apply by a lav, he says, where does oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah not apply by a lav? It involves, that's when it's a lav that involves actively doing an aveira. Oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah doesn't allow you to actively do an aveira. Here, what you're doing is not actively doing an aveira. It's only passively not giving tzedakah. On a passive aveira, we do say oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. One more teretz that Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, in the Sefer Zeche Yitzchak suggests, he says that the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, the Shomer Aveda, we're speaking about, what is the basis of that mitzvah? He says the basis of that mitzvah is tzedakah. So if somebody's being a Shomer Aveda, the reason he suggests that such a person would not have to give tzedakah is because he's already doing tzedakah. How is he doing tzedakah? By being a Shomer Aveda. When you're doing the same mitzvah, so of course that isn't considered that you're violating anything at that time. And therefore, since it's not considered that you're violating it at that time, we could apply the concept of oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. So we're saying here that there's a concept of oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, and while you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah. And therefore, while you're being a Shomer Aveda, says Rabbi Yosef, you don't have to give tzedakah. So there's a very, very fundamental machlokes rishonim, how to apply this concept. Tosfos says that what is meant is that while I'm doing mitzvah, if I'm taking care of the aveda that I'm watching, and that moment a oni comes for tzedakah, I'm not obligated to give him tzedakah, oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. But if I'm not busy at this moment with doing the mitzvah, then I can't apply the concept of oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. And Tosfos brings a great raya. Tosfos says, if we're going to say that oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah means as long as I'm involved in a mitzvah, I'm not obligated to do any other mitzvah. He says, in the time of Chazal, people wore tefillin all day. And in our world, for example, even, people wear tzitzis all day. So we're going to say oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah. And if I'm wearing tzitzis, stylus cotton all day, I shouldn't have to do another mitzvah. Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. The Rashba disagrees. And the Rashba says that oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah seems to teach us that if you're doing a mitzvah, you're exempt from doing another mitzvah. Which actually that opens up a very interesting discussion. What's the halacha, which is very much relevant to our discussion here in the shir? Somebody is davening, and in the middle of davening, somebody comes to collect tzedakah. Should we say that oisik b'mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, and he shouldn't have to give the tzedakah? I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm davening, I'm saying krishma. So Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita, and the Shas Tshuvas van Hagas, Chela Gimel Simen Reish Pei Zayin discusses this, and he wants to differentiate between if you're doing a mitzvah that's been odom l'chaveroi, or you're doing a mitzvah that's been odom l'makim. If you're doing a mitzvah which has been odom l'chaveroi, which is like an al gemara, you're being a shomer aveda, that's where halacha says, oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. However, if you're doing a mitzvah which has been odom l'makim, davening krishma, he says, there we don't say oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. But then he himself says that it doesn't make sense to differentiate between a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveri and ben adam l'makam. And he says, therefore, that
if somebody is asked to give tzedakah, in milah psukah de zimra, he should give the tzedakah. In milah of krishma, he should not stop. In milah of krishma, because as we know, the Gemara Masechta Bracha speaks about quite extensively, while we're reciting krishma, the halacha is very strict, that we shouldn't do anything else. During Birchas Krishma, he says it's a question. He says most people give tzedakah. So Rav Vozner Zatzal, in the Shas HaTshuva Shevet Alevi, Chelek Yud, Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, discusses a question that if there are people sitting and learning, and of course learning is the best way to learn, is to be uninterrupted. And what's the halacha if somebody is learning and somebody comes in to collect tzedakah? Should those people who are learning stop to give tzedakah, or should they continue learning? He says that in the middle of learning, there's a concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potah b'mitzvah, and he says that somebody does not have to give tzedakah. But he quotes, I did see that they quote from the Chabina Rav, that the Chabina Rav used to say that I'm sitting and learning, and while I'm sitting and learning, as we just said, of course, learning is best accomplished uninterrupted. And he says that sometimes people come to collect tzedakah while I'm learning, and that interruption really affects my learning. He says, so technically, halachically, I should not have to give tzedakah. He says, the issue of me not, of turning away a Jew who needs tzedakah is much more severe to me, and therefore, even though it interrupts my learning, I should stop the learning. I stop my learning to give them tzedakah. The Sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses a situation. What is the halacha if somebody is a doctor? Of course, if a doctor is treating a patient that's a chayla shiyesh by sakana, that's in danger, so we know that everything is pushed away in such a situation. But he's dealing with a patient who is not a chayla shiyesh by sakana. He's a patient that came to see him. What is the halacha? Should he stop his treating the patient to go daven or not? So he says a number of things. Number one, he says, as we just said, certainly if he's taking care of a patient where there's a question of pikuach nefesh, that overrides his davening. He also says if the patient for whom he is caring is a woman who's having fertility issues. So we know the importance of the mitzvah of Purur Revu. And therefore, he says the mitzvah of Purur Revu is such a significant mitzvah as well that he should not interrupt and take care of the patient. Certainly, he says, if he finished seeing one patient and he hasn't begun seeing the next patient, so then he should take care, he should first daven or do whatever else he has to do, and then the halacha is, he'll go back to the next patient. While he's in the middle of a patient where it's not a chayla shiyesh by sakana, it's not that clear. It seems, from the way I understand what he's saying, it would depend. If the patient that he's seeing just came for an examination, not that the patient is actually suffering from anything, so there maybe we would say that he's oisik b'mitzvah, potah b'mitzvah. But if the patient came, even though what he's suffering from is not life and death situation, but still, since he is middle of taking care of a patient, and there's certainly a mitzvah to take care of patients when they come to see you, the halacha should be that will apply the concept of oisik b'mitzvah, potah b'mitzvah. But then the Gemara quoted the Ikud Mefarshim that said, since the Torah says he has to do this mitzvah, that's why he becomes a Shomer Sachar. So what is the Shomer Sachar? Asked the Mefarshim, just because the Torah obligates him to do this mitzvah. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that the schar mitzvah, the schar that one gets for doing a mitzvah, makes him into a shomer socher. The Or Sameach takes a different approach. He says there's a fundamental difference between a shomer chinam and a shomer aveda. He says a shomer chinam's obligation is to make sure that what he is watching doesn't get ruined. But he doesn't have the higher level of obligation of making sure that what he is watching is kept in good shape. On the other hand, the Shomer Aveda has an obligation to actively take care of what he's watching. Since he has an obligation to actively take care of what he's watching, that makes him, the way Or Sameach explains, into the category of a poel, of a worker. He says a poel who's a worker is in the category of a shomer socher, not in the category of a shomer chinam. And therefore, since he has to actively make sure that what he is watching is kept in good shape, that's why he's considered a shomer chinam. The Rabbi Chaim Briska, the Rebbe there quotes Rabbi Chaim Briska. He says that the factor to take into consideration is that he has to do it. Since this person who finds the Aveda, the Torah obligates him to take care of it. It's not something that's optional. Since it's something that he's obligated to do, that is what makes it, that makes him to Shomer Socher. And he says, for that reason, normally when somebody accepts upon themselves to be a Shomer, that has to be some sort of a kinyan. That has to be some sort of a formal obligation that he's going to take care of what he took upon himself to take care. Here, since the Torah says he has to do it, there is no need for any formal obligation. The Gemara now is going to focus on this machlokes of Rav Yosef and Rava. Says the Gemara, Esrei Rav Yosef l'Rabba. So Rav Yosef asked Rabba, we learned in a Braisa, where somebody found an Aveda, the Halacha is Chazira L'Makom Shirena, if he returns it to the place where the owners of that object can see it when they enter and exit their home, and a Chayav L'Tavabah, he has no more obligation to watch, to do anything with it. So, and as Issa Zalman and the Sefer Evan Ozel explains, let's say somebody's watching somebody's animal and he returns it to a place where the person is expected to be, so he's no longer obligated to do anything anymore. Because the Gemara says there's a concept that he did what the Derech HaShomrim is. He did what is expected of a Shomer. So here too, if you put it back to a place where the owners are presumably going to see it, he did what Shomer are obligated to do, and since he did what Shomer obligated to do, he has no further obligation. Hechziru l'makom shirena, en chayv l'tapalba. Nignava avda, chayv b'chiyosai. If it got stolen or lost, he's responsible. Mai, ask him, what does the braisa mean, nignava avda, that he's chayv? Lav nignava mebeisai, that if something was stolen from his home, or it was lost from his home, this Shomer Aveda will be held responsible. Why will he be held responsible? Because he is a Shomer Socher. And as we said earlier in our shir, a Shomer Socher is Chayv and Gneva Aveda. Says the Merloi. What the Baisa referred to was Mishmakam Shech Zira. If it was stolen from where he put it back, where we just learned that was all he had to do, his obligation, his responsibility ends. Vaktani asked the Gemara, but ain't a chayv l'tapalba. We just learned when you put it back to where you were supposed to put, you're no longer responsible. So if that's the case, why would you be chayiv if there was Geneva Aveda from that spot? Amalei, hachamai skin kishir b'mitzarayim, that he returned it in the afternoon. And says the Gemara, v'tartik tami, this braisa is teaching us two halachas, vachitani. If he returned it in the morning to a place where it's easily visible, and it's common that the owners of this object are there in the morning, and therefore chazilei, the owner will see this object. So the person has done what he's obligated to do, and ein chayv l'tapa bo, he has no further obligations. However, hechzir b'tzirayim l'makom shirenu, he put it back in the afternoon to a place where it's visible. However, it's a time d'lay shchiach, d'lay nafik, d'ayv nafik. It's not a time where the owners are usually in that place, and therefore lay chazala, he cannot assume that the owner will see it, and therefore, if at that time nignava ayavda, if something happens, if it's stolen, he's chayiv b'achriyosa. So the Rishonim point out that the way to understand the Gemara is not that it's a din in the morning versus the afternoon. The factor to take into consideration, is this a time where a person is expected, the owner is expected to see it and know about it or not? Esvei, asked the Gemara, lo'ilu mu'chayiv, the Brisa continues, says that the person who found the Aveda, lo'ilu mu'chayiv, is always responsible, ad shi'ir chesrena l'shusoy, until he gives it back. Ask the Gemara, my lo'olam. What is meant with the word lo'olam? La'av, afilu mi'besoy. That even if it was stolen from his home, he's going to be held responsible. So isn't this a raya, shmamina, that by being chayiv for gneiv m'aveda, kishoy m'socher, dami, he's considered like kishoy m'socher? Omle responds, rava, bedinalach, as we mentioned earlier. I will admit that when we speak about balichayim, when we speak about animals, so by animals, there's a new consideration. The kima the natale nigra b'riaisa, animals very often go out, and therefore by the terasa yisayrta, they need a higher level of shmira. And if you did not do that higher level of shmira, then you should be held responsible, because you should have known that this animal is an animal. It's not an inanimate object, and it has the tendency to walk out, and therefore you'll be chayif for greater aveda. In fact, points out Tosfos, after what we just learned in this Gemara, you're only going to be responsible for gneiva and aveda if the animal was lost as a result of wandering, because you should have recognized that this animal is likely to wander. And since it's likely that this animal is going to wander, you're going to be held responsible if it wandered. But let's say, says Tosfos, the Shomer Aveda properly locked the animal in a barn, and then somebody broke into the barn and stole the animal, even the Shomer Aveda will be exempt. Because the only reason a Shomer Aveda is chayiv when it's stolen is if he didn't watch it from wandering. Here I made sure it shouldn't wander, and therefore I will not be chayiv. The Parham Iris has a different approach to this Gemara. The Parham Iris approach to the Gemara says that even though Rava holds that normally a Shomer Aveda is considered a Shomer Chinam, because he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Pruta de Rabbi Yosef, he says that, and this goes back to what we quoted from the Tzais early in our shiur. As we quoted from the Tzais early in our shiur, it's not that Rava disagrees with the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potim and mitzvah, and that's why he disagrees with Rabbi Yosef. He certainly agrees with the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potim and mitzvah. Rather, what did Rava hold? The chances, the possibility, that just when I'm taking care of the Aveda, that's when somebody's going to come collect tzedakah, is very remote. And therefore, for such a remote possibility, we don't say Oisik b'mitzvah, Potim and mitzvah. Says the Gemara, says Rabbah, that's where I'm watching something, an inanimate object. So how much time do I really have to spend taking care of this object? However, when I'm taking care of an animal, so as the Gemara just said, animals often wander around. Since animals often wander around, watching an animal is something which is time-consuming. And therefore, in such circumstances, Rabbi will agree to the concept of Oisik b'mitzvah, Potter b'mitzvah. Says the Gemara, now Rabbi asks a question of Rabbi Yosef. Aisvei Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef. The Pasuk says, by the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Hoshev toshivim lachechem. Hoshev, Ein li ela b'beisoy. Maybe I'm only fulfilling the obligation of returning the lost object. If I return it to the person who lost home, how do I know if I just returned it to his yard? I also fulfill the mitzvah. So now the Gemara analyzes exactly what was it meant when I returned Liganasa Chavasai. Ilema, asked the Gemara, you're going to say that it meant Liganasa Chamishamaris, Ulchavasa Mishamaris. It's a properly protected area. So ask the Gemara, Haina Besu, that's the same as Besai. El Pshita, what must it mean? Liganasai Shaina Mishamaris, Ulchavasai Shaina Mishamaris. There's a place that's not properly watched. Shmamina. So we see from here, he's a Shem Chinam. Because as we understand, the difference between a Shem Chinam and a Shem Sacher is the level of obligation. And he says that the level of obligation by Shem Chinam is less than the obligation by Shem Sacher. And saying that just returning it to this type of Gina and Churva, Shenem Ishtameris, is good enough, it must be because the Shem Raveda is only like a Shem Echinam. Amalei L'Oilom Ginosam Ishtameris L'Chamos Ishtameris. Says Rabbi Yosef, no. I'm speaking about a Gina and a Churva Ishtameris. So then we ask the question, if that's what we're speaking about, with the Kokoshla Chayna Beisoy, so that's the same as Beisoy, answers the Gemara, that the Brice was teaching us another halacha. Hakamashmalan. The Brice is teaching us the loibin and das ba'alim. That when you return an aveda, the owner does not have to be aware that you returned it. Uk Reb Elazar, which is what Reb Elazar taught us. Dam Reb Elazar, hakol tzrichim das ba'alim. When somebody stole an object, or if somebody is a formal official shomer, when you return it, it has to be that the owner is aware that you returned it. Chutz. You have to return it in a protected area, but you don't have to, the owner does not have to be aware of it. Why? That's what the Torah is teaching us. Just returning it to his protected area is adequate. Do you not really hold that the Shomer Aveda is Kishom Echinam Domi? As he asks, somebody found an aveda, and the person who lost it asks me to return it. And I, who found it, say that it was stolen from me, and I swear in Besdin that it was stolen. And then Adam come and say that that's just not true. The halacha is that I will have to pay like a ganef has to pay. A ganef has to pay teshlumei kefil. That the halacha is that I have to pay Shlumei Kefil, presumably because I'm a Shem Echinam. And a Shem Echinam who claims that something was stolen, and then he swears falsely, then he has to pay Kefil like any Ganef. Because, says the Gemara, if the halacha actually is that Shem Esachah have a Maimishalim to Shlumei Kefil, kind of by a Shlumei, the halacha is that a Shem Esachah has to pay for Geneva Aveda. And since he has to pay for Geneva Aveda, so that the claim that it was stolen is not going to help. So when the claim that it was stolen is a law is going to help, and then it turns out that he was lying. So what does it mean what he did when he was lying? It means he's a ganef, and the halach is a ganef has to pay kefil. But a person who is anyway has to pay the principal, even if he says it was stolen. So then he has to pay the Karen. Kefil was only said to a ganef, to a Shem Echinam, who wouldn't have to pay the Karen. But if you have to pay the Karen anyway, the halacha of Kefil doesn't apply. Amalei, to which he responded, he says there was an armed robbery. And since there was an armed robbery, so then even a Shem Esachar is potter by an armed robbery. And since even a Shem Esachar is potter by an armed robbery, so if he said that, he would not have to pay. And when it turns out that he was lying, he has to pay kefil. Amalei, so ask Sabaya, but if he's claiming it's a list of mezuyin, a list of mezuyin is a gazlan. The Torah differentiates between a ganef and a gazlan. The halach of a ganef is somebody who does it surreptitiously. he sneaks into the house. He's hiding. A gazlan is somebody who does it up front. And the din of kefil is only by ganef, not by gazlan. The Rishonim explain why. They explain a ganef shows that he's only scared about from people. That's why he doesn't want to be caught. But he's not scared from Hashem. So he pays kefil. A gazlan is not scared of anyone. So he doesn't pay kefil. A list of mezuin asked the Gemara is a gazlan. If he's a gazlan, there's never kefil. Answers the Gemara, Amalei, to which Rabbi Yosef responds to Abaya, Shani Omer, list of mezuin, even a list of mezuin, just because he's an armed robber, Kim the Mitmer, he still tries to conceal himself. Kim the Mitmer Minchi tries to conceal himself from people, and that's why he's still considered a ganef. And it would be a case that if the Shai Mesachus said there was a list of mezuyin, which is a fair explanation, the halacha would be that he would have to pay, that he would have to pay kefil. And that's what we're speaking about. Says the Ramban, that not only in a case of a list of mezuyin, but let's say somebody, a Shai Mesachus got sick, and the Shai Mesachus got sick, and he's not able to properly, which is an oinus, obviously, and he's not able to properly watch what he was paid to watch. And then during that time, a ganef came in. What will be the halacha? Will he be chayv for geneva aveda because he's still a shem esacher? Or could he say, I'm an oinus, and a shem esacher, that I wasn't able to watch it properly from geneva aveda, and an oinus is potter, and then if it turns out that he's lying, he would be chayv kefil. It's machloikus, the Ramban and the Rashba. The Ramban says that that would be another case that the Gemara could have suggested, and he would be chayv kefil. The Rashba disagrees. Esvei asked the Gemara, the Torah speaks about Shlichus Yad, where Shai Mechinim did not watch properly the object that he was charged to watch. And the Torah speaks about Mechinim who was Shalayach Yad, and a Shai Mesachus was a Shalayach Yad. And the question, of course, is, if as we've been learning throughout our shir, that the level of responsibility by a Shai Mesachus is greater than by a Shai Mechinam, so if there's a halacha of Shalayach Yad by a Shai Mechinam, there certainly should be a halacha of Shalayach Yad by a Shai Mesachus. Why was the Torah have to say it by a Shai Mesachus as well? Says the Brais Loi, Imamrat b'Shai Mechinam k'shem m'shalam tashlumei kefil. The Shai Mechinam, if it turns out that he was lying about the Geneva, will pay kefil. That's why the Torah spoke about Shleich Yad by Shai Mechinam. Time of B'Shem Sachar, Shein M'Shalam Tashlumei Kefil. But ask the Gemara, if according to what we just learned, V'Sagadatach, list the Mezuyin Ganef, who, that the list of Mezuyin of a Shai Mechinam is considered a Ganef, so we just came up with a situation that Shai Mechinam will pay kefil in a case that he said he was robbed by Tayan Tanis Lamazuyan, and then it turns out that he was lying. Amalei, says the Gemara Hachikamer, what he meant to say, is what the Brais means to say is like this, Loi, imamat b'shem mechinam, shekein m'sham tashlumei kefil b'kol tanoisav. Whenever the Shem mechinam claims that it was a lie, that it was stolen, and then it turns out to be a lie, he's going to be chayiv to kefil. Whereas a Shai Mesachus will only, time of a Shai Mesachus, a Shai Mesachus will only pay kefil, not in any case that he claimed there was a Geneva, only in a case, as we're learning in our Gemara, when he was tying Tanis, when he tying Tanis listed Mezuyim. Esve, there's an interesting question, the Rishonim just to mention, will there be a heter, a ball of Ina, Imai by Shai Mesachus? Esve asked the Gemara, the Torah speaks about a shoyl. The Torah said by a shoyl, v'shnizber omeis, baal of ein imoy shalom yishalom. Ein li ela shfur omeisa. The Torah only speaks about that if I borrowed something and it broke, that I am held responsible. Geneva veda, how will we know that if I borrowed something and it was stolen while it was in my possession, that I will be chayiv? Menayin amit kal v'chomer. So the Brais says there's a kal v'chomer. The Shai Mesachus is potter for an oinus. Es chayiv b'geneva v'aveda. Shoyl shechayiv b'shvur ha'meisa. Shoyl who's chayiv for an oinus. certainly is going to be chayiv for Geneva Aveda. And the Gemara and the Raisa makes a very strong statement. This is such a strong kavachomer that there is no question in it. That, so why was it necessary to be said? So the Sefer Taras Chaim explains, the Gemara is anticipating that you could have asked list the mezuyin, which list the mezuyin is a good excuse by Shemesh Socher, and a Shoyel doesn't have that excuse. So from here so the Gemara says that we actually hold the list of mezuyin is not a good excuse. Ask the Gemara. Vi salkadatach list of mezuyin ganafu amayel and tshuva ikla mechrif mal shem esoch shkem sham tashlumi kefil betoyin tanis list of mezuyin. Says the Gemara amalei kusava haytana. This Tana holds that list of mezuyin is a good excuse, but it's not a way to refute the kavachomer. Because kana b'shloi shlua, a shoyel who pays the keren. So the shoyel paying the keren, or under all circumstances, is a difa, is better than paying kfeilu b'shvua, than paying kefa when he swears. He says that the shoyel sachar only pays kefa when he swears falsely. So he says that's not a chumra, because he has to swear, and that's what makes him pay the kefa. And not because a Shemesh Socher is stricter than a Shoyel. And therefore we can't learn a Shoyel from the Shemesh Socher. Says the Gemara Lema Masayle. So the Gemara said, because people don't want to make Shua. Lema Masayle, says the Gemara, bring a Raya. The Brisa says, Asoycha Parcha Mechaveroi, I rented an animal, the Nigavan was stolen, Vama Allah Harani Meshalim, and the renter says, I will pay and not swear. Vakach Nimsa Ganef, and then the ganef is caught. The ganef has to pay kefil to this person. Savrua. So there's a machloikis in Masechet Baba Metzia, Taflam and Gimel. What is the status of a soicher, of a renter? Is the status of a shemesh socher, or is it in the status of a shemesh chinam? Says the Mar Savru. They assume that this price is of the opinion like Rabbi Yehuda. A renter is in the same category as a shemesh socher. We see from here that he says, I'm going to pay and not swear. We're speaking about a case that swearing would have gotten him off the hook. How could swearing, how could a shemesh socher swearing get him off the hook for Geneva Aveda? It must be, presumably, the Katan Tanis list the mezuyin, that he's claiming a list of mezuyin, that there he's potter, the Katani, and we learn v'akach nimtza ganem sham tashlumei kefil l'soicher. Shema mina, isn't this clearly an opinion? The list of mezuyin is considered a ganef, because if a list of mezuyin was considered a gazlan, why would I pay kefil? Amri says, this entire proof was based on a contention that were following the opinion of Yehuda Dami Soich to Naisu Socher Dami, that a renter is in the same category of a Shemesh Socher. Dilma, maybe this is following the opinion of Rameis Relay, Dami Soich to Shemesh Chinam Dami, that is considered like a Shemesh Chinam. And therefore, your entire, and the Shemesh Chinam certainly swears and is off the hook. Ibai Seima, or we could say that the Brisa follows the opinion like Rabbi Yehuda, but we've learned Kremachle Rabba Baravu Vatani, he reverses the opinions. And he says, Soichaket Meshalem, Ramea Omer, Kishem Sachada, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kishem Echinam. Rabzeira says, Hachemai Skinem Vatayan Tanis List of Mazuyan, Nimtsa List and Shenem Mazuyan. So if it's a list and Shenem, it turned out to be a list and then a Mazuyan, then he was certainly a Ganef, and that's why there would be a Chiv of Kefil, and we have no Raya to our question, is a list of mezuyin considered a ganef or not, or a gazlan? So we have this machlokes. How do we treat a soicher? Do we treat him like a shemesh socher, or do we treat him like a shemesh chinam? The man that says he's treated like a shemesh socher, because he's the one that's benefiting. When I rent something from you, but I benefit from what I rented from you, which is similar to shemesh socher, that he benefits to pay. The other opinion says that since I'm paying, it's not considered that I'm benefiting. What I have to pay for is not considered that I benefited. And that's why he considers him like a Shomer Chinam. There's a very interesting question that our Gemara discusses somebody who refuses to swear. And the Pesukim discussed that, of course, people avoid swearing. And the Sefer Chassidim discusses it and others. So what is the halacha if somebody refuses to swear because he doesn't want to swear, even though he knows the truth? What will be the halacha? The Svarim will say, if somebody refuses to swear because the halacha because he just doesn't want to swear, even though he knows the truth, he'll have to pay. But there are many stories that the Rishonim and Achronim quote that when people did such things, that they refused to swear, the money that they were supposed to get, they got anyway. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with a tremendous Hashgacha Pratis that nobody should lose what they're not supposed to lose.